on ABC Radio Perth, WA and the ABC Listen app. This is Mornings with Nadia Mitsopoulos.
Now we're talking.
Now you'd be well aware that a national cabinet meeting has been held this morning to deal with male violence against women, an issue that's been described as a national crisis. Now, the Prime Minister and State Premiers discussed things like electronic tracking of violent offenders, sharing information about them, and stricter bail laws. Now, the Prime Minister speaking at the moment. We're monitoring what he is saying. We'll bring you a little bit of that a little later. Now, if you need reminding, 28 women in Australia have been killed this year. And today's the day vigils are held right across the country to remember and honour them. Women like Erica Hay, Joan Drain, Melanie Kazenga, and Lynn Cannon. Now, Lynn was killed by her ex-husband 17 months ago, and you'll recall this case, and that was after police failed to respond to numerous 000 calls. Well, her sister Jackie Daly is back here in the studio with me, and with her is Lynn's boss, Kate Fulton, the CEO of Avivo, which is a disability and aged care services provider, and that's where Lynn worked. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Morning.
Jackie, could I just start with you? 28 women killed in violent circumstances so far this year. I just wonder how you reflect on that.
Well, it's just devastating. I mean, every time we hear about another death, we relive everything that we went through with Lynn. And it's not just the family that is impacted. It has a whole wave of devastation. And it's just so frustrating that it keeps happening. And we keep hearing of people wanting to do more. And they want to be seen to be doing the right thing. But what we need is more people putting things into practice.
And if I pick you up on that point, because I guess what we have to make sure is, and I'm using the words of Anne O'Neill, and Anne O'Neill lost her two children when her former husband killed them. It was quite a few years ago. She says what we need to make sure is that we're not in another outrage cycle. We get a spate of deaths. It dominates the national conversation. We have these emergency meetings. And then what happens?
Yeah. So then what happens? Yeah. So we need to have things actually being put into place, you know, looking at what needs to be, not just looking at what needs to be done, but actually doing it, you know, putting things into place. And that's what Avivo have done off their own back. They've been proactive about it. And they've decided that, yes, they wanted to do more. And so they've actually put things into place. There are good, solid, practical steps that will really make a difference in women's lives and really help them and support them where they need it.
And I really hope there's a lot of bosses listening today, because I think you're going to take a fair bit out of this. Let's go to you, Kate Fulton, the CEO of Avivo. Lynn's death, how did that impact on you and your staff?
Oh, it was massive. Lynn was a much-loved, cherished colleague of Team Wanneroo. And, it was loved by our colleagues and customers. And when Lynn died, the impact... Avivo is quite a tight-knit community. And when Lynn died, the impact was just significant. Of course, we've supported colleagues who are victims of domestic violence over the years. But what it did, I suppose, was kind of shock us all. What else can workplaces do to keep people safe, or to help in terms of helping people feel safe and to be able to get the help that they need? And I suppose it kind of shocked us into, well, what should employers be doing? And we don't profess to be experts at all. So we put together a small group. We were supported by the board with a really, really small budget. So let's do a bit of research. Let's talk to other organisations. Let's see what it is that is good practice. And nobody's nailed it. So we definitely didn't find anybody that was kind of, you know, perfect. But what we did learn was that there are some really practical things that you can do for the individual, and there are some things that you need to do for the culture. So do you want me to go through?
I will in a moment, but before we do, I just want to understand a bit better about what you found was sort of the current state of play in workplaces, because I would imagine there's if you have a staff member going through something like this, as a boss, I suspect you don't know.
No, we don't know. And certainly over the years, we've had colleagues approach us to say they don't want to go to their boss, their direct boss, and they're worried about going to HR. So in my experience, they've ended up coming to somebody that they trust in the organisation to say, I don't know what to do. And colleagues can see. So up to 70% of victims of domestic violence are in the workplace. So it's highly...
It's an obvious place.
Yeah. So it's a place where you can find connection. You can, in many situations, you can be safe. But it also means that your colleagues are likely to be the people who see signs early on. So what we learned was that colleagues were going to people that they trusted and saying, I need some help. The other fact that we're on reflection when we started this project, we do have domestic violence leave, as the government want all organisations to have. We have domestic violence leave. I asked for the stats over the last year of how many colleagues had accessed that, and it was zero. And I knew that wasn't the case, that we'd given people additional leave. But the shame that comes with asking for that kind of leave is extraordinary. So it might well be an entitlement and it might well be there in the workplace, but if people feel they can't access it, then we've got a problem. So that was one of the things that we learned pretty early on. Actually, we think it's great that we've got this, but if people can't access it, it's useless. So that was kind of the current state. People reaching out to people that they trust. You know, what I've seen in Avivo is colleagues really rallying around each other. You know, I'll phone you to let me know that you've got home safe, let me know that you... you've got to the customer's house in the morning safe, you know, those kind of things. So it's a kind of ad hoc, you know, practical stuff. But that was exactly why we started the project. Like, what else should we be doing? What can we do systemically, culturally and individually to make a difference?
Was Lynn comfortable talking about what was going on?
No, Lynn hid a lot of what was going on. She didn't talk to us. We only knew as her family because we were eyewitnesses to the verbal abuse.
But she wouldn't have raised this in her workplace?
I don't believe she would have raised it in her workplace, no. She was, with things like that, she was a very private person. And also she would protect him as well. She didn't want people thinking badly of him. She wouldn't have mentioned it. And she still didn't tell us everything that was going on, you know, so... Yeah, something that she wouldn't have talked about. So we need to make it more easier for people to talk about.
And more comfortable.
Yeah, more comfortable.
It's not about shame.
No, but there shouldn't be a stigma attached to it. And it is important that it's the workplaces get on board with this, because there are a lot of women out there that don't have the support network around them, that don't have family and friends, that may be new immigrants to the country. You know, so and they don't feel like they have anywhere to turn. So if we've got a workplace doing what Avivo are doing now, because these are really good practical steps that they've put in place, they're very good. I'll let Kate tell you about.
Yeah, thank you. Let's go to them. Go through them, because I think this is brilliant.
Okay, so some of the things that we learned really helps are things like workplace security. So we're in a position where we can change people's rosters. We can change their location of work. We can block phone numbers. So when somebody tells us, I need some support, that's our kind of starting place. What can we do in order to keep you safe? In our work, you know, many partners know where people work, so because we work across communities. So that kind of really practical shift is really helpful.
So having that flexibility.
Yeah, absolute flexibility. And being, I suppose, directed by the employee themselves, what would make sense? What's a safe place for you to work? We then offer free counselling and free coaching. So that is, you know, nobody, they don't need to log that. They don't need to request it. They can get that directly through the counsellor and through the coach. They don't have to go to their boss. The other thing that we offer is on all of our mobile phones. So we issue all of our colleagues with mobile phones. On all of our mobile phones, we have various resources and free apps that give you access to what's available locally in WA, what services are available, kind of specialist providers. The other thing that we learned were things around pay, so particularly in relation to financial abuse. So we're able to give out-of-cycle pay advances and also pay a percentage of somebody's wages into a different account, which then you can kind of, you know, talk about, well, I had this shift there and that shift there. So people can have more control over their pay that's not going into maybe the family account. We offer a duress alarm. So we can put that on our colleagues' mobile phones, which is a service that we've used for many years in Avivo in relation to working with customers that may be challenging. And our colleagues can have that service for free. If they're in danger, they can signal, they can press the duress alarm, and that goes to a security service that then responds, which yeah, again, is a free service that we offer all colleagues if they need it. We can give legal referrals, so we've got a good knowledge now of who is good in this space, and we can facilitate that for colleagues to say, we can put you in touch with somebody who knows what they're talking about, and things like restraining orders and what have you. And then we also have partnerships with some of the specialist FDV providers who provide emergency accommodation or emergency services for families. And you know, we can facilitate that. So we're not asking the colleague to do that. We're saying we can help you with that.
And I understand also your phone numbers. You're happy to change their phone numbers, mobile phone numbers if they need to?
Change phone numbers. We can change their work pattern completely. I mean, we're very lucky in as much that we have that ability. You know, we work with a lot of people. We work with over 3,000 customers. So we have the ability to really be flexible and change how we operate. Probably the other thing that we've learned, which I think might be interesting to other employers, is yes, there's lots of things we can do for the individual, but as Jackie said, there's something about the culture and something about awareness in general about FDV and what that looks like. And I suppose some level of, you know, that kind of old fashioned, well, why don't you just leave? You know, that's the answer. Kind of much more understanding around this is complex. And we need to be, employers need to be in it for the long haul.
Often children involved.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So culturally, we think it's really important that we offer regular training to all of our staff around what FDV is, signs, you know, things to look for, what to do in terms of the organisation. We make sure that these services that I've talked about are on our intranet and that people don't have to go like specifically asking for them. They're just public. They're there. We talk about them a lot. We have regular news articles, campaigns about FDV. And I think the critical thing is that we're all aware of it, that it's not about, you know, the other, this kind of random person. The more that we've done this project, it's extraordinary, Nadia, how many people came forward, wanted to be part of the working group, and were saying, I too have been a victim. You know, I know what this is like. I'm happy to share my story if that helps another colleague. Yeah, it's been extraordinary for such a small project. The support's been amazing.
And it's almost, Kate Fulton, like you've got the blueprint here, and that everything you've outlined would actually be not that difficult for other organisations, other workplaces to adopt.
Absolutely, absolutely. Which is why it's a really small project. We're not experts. We've just put this together and said, put it into a report and said to the sector, to anybody, have a look at this. It's practical stuff. You know, 2 years ago, I would have loved a list like this.
Yeah.
Just to point me in the right direction. So
maybe Lynn would be with us today.
That's right. People, I think they need the practical steps. They need to know there's a way out. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're showing them.
Live across Perth and Western Australia.
Mornings with Nadia Mitsopoulos on ABC Radio Perth, WA and the ABC Listen app.